There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, away we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along on this Wednesday. And we are live aboard the Mighty A here at Battleship Memorial Park, my favorite place to do a radio show, right here in the wardroom. So glad to have us back out. That means big things happen at the Battleship. We're going to get to that in just a second. Also coming up on today's show, Cameron Smith from AL.com. Give you the latest on the ILA strike here at the Port of Mobile. We'll talk about that in just the second half of the show. Also, last night's debate, of course, that's been the discussion on the morning show and on Jeff's show today. We'll talk about it with you. Reminder, text line is the best way to communicate today because I'm not in the opulent FM Talk 106.5 studios. So text me at 343-0106. And as always, you can leave us talkback messages when you use the FM Talk 106.5 app. If you don't have the app, let me stop for a second. If you don't have the app, we want you to have the app. It's free. It's waiting for you. If you got an Apple phone, iOS, it's on the App Store. If you use an Android phone, you're a cool dad like me running Android. I just like to leave that out. And then my friends go, you're the green bubble on the text. Yeah, I'm one of those. All of us go to Google Play to get the FM Talk 106.5 app. But just look for FM TALK 1065. You'll see our logo. That's the app. Download it. And so many things on there. But one of the features, that microphone icon, lets you record a message. You can email it to the station and chime in on this show or any of the other 53 hours a week of live local shows from FM Talk 106.5. All right. So we are here at Battleship Memorial Park. And Hannah Nelson with the Battleship, thanks for having us back out.
Yeah, thank you for coming.
Now, when I know we come out here, that means we must be darn close to a living history drill.
Of course, yes. And we have our living history crew drill this weekend. And actually, for the first time ever, if you haven't been lately, it's a great time to come because we have our first family day.
Okay.
And so on Saturday, all adults are half off admission prices.
Okay.
And so the first 20 people that come actually get a complimentary swag. So there's so many wonderful opportunities. And then, of course, we have the drill, which call to battle stations at 1 p.m. And planes fly based on weather and mechanical safety. And you can watch our social media, you know, to keep up on any changes or adjustments. But this weekend's a great time to come out if you've been thinking about it or you haven't been in a while. It's a great time.
Yeah, it's always good to come out to them, but I will say this. Coming out in October versus one in the middle of the summer may be a little more appealing to some folks once you're standing on the new teak deck of the USS Alabama.
Definitely. I was talking about today, the weather has shifted, and it shows. Every day, it just feels so much cooler.
Said to me, it's nicer out here. If people have not been part of the Living History Crew drill, I've talked about it over the years. Describe to people what they're going to see. You talk about the planes. We got that there, but what's happening? What goes on the battleship?
Well, I look at it as, because you come to the battleship and it's already you're being like put into history almost, and this is just more so that I literally invited my friends because I said this is going to be so cool. Like it's a reenactment. Like you get put back in history in a way that you don't normally get to experience. And so people are dressed up everywhere, and it's almost like you're back in time.
Right.
In the best way, and you get to just to watch it happen, and you hear all the noises and see all the things. It's very immersive. And so it's really fun, especially for the kids. I feel like they get really excited about it.
The kids and the big kids, they get excited about it as well. Yeah, we talk about the guns going off and all those things, but at the same time, like you said, the people are dressed, but they also can tell you what they're doing and who they are. This is the thing my son and I enjoyed, is stopping different people in the crew, and they're like, okay, well, I'm a medic, or I'm here to put out the fire, or I'm here to do X, Y, Z, and they can give you, like, you can learn about those things in a textbook. Maybe that, maybe that's horizontal, but vertical, when you talk to somebody who tells me, you know, this is what, and they're acting just like it would have been somebody aboard a sailor aboard the Alabama.
Yeah, it's like a very, it's an immersive history lesson, and it's really fun. It's not like you're like, oh, it's history lesson, but you're getting to watch it and hear them describe it, and it's more fun that way. And so it's just, it's a really exciting day, and you learn a lot. That's what a lot of people come and they learn things that they never knew. I learn things I never knew every day.
Yes.
And so it's just, it's really cool, especially if you're a history buff. Even if you're not, it's a fun experience. I went to speak to some classes, and people were talking, I was talking about this weekend, and they were mentioning, just college students mentioning, they haven't been out in a while, and they said, yeah, that sounds really cool. I didn't know they did that. I want to go. Like, that sounds like a really cool experience.
Absolutely.
So it's just a good... Okay. It's a good time.
Now, I want to talk about this, too, because you said for the first time, Family Day, and the first 20 get swag. What time? What time is? Because I always kind of, when talking to general in the past, would kind of give people like the time to get here if they wanted to get here and not have too much time for the before it starts. But when is like those 20 people? What time should they be here?
I mean, we open at 8 a.m. Okay. So if people want to spend the whole day, and there's plenty to see, because you can reserve hours and still not see everything here. So if you're someone who hasn't been in a long time or hasn't been, it would be a pretty full day. And, of course, the drill starts at 1 p.m. So it's
up to
you.
If y'all want to check the drill out, it's always been said, get here at 11:30 so you can get parked and make sure you're on deck for the drill. That's the way to...
Yes, 11:30.
All right. Also, going on, people are going to ask about this before I even look at the text line. And I think about this for, I don't know, there are people that are responsible and start doing Christmas shopping in October. I'm not one of them. But Teak. Teak's still available?
We still have some available. It's obviously limited supply because we only have so much of it. But yes, we still have it available in the gift shop. You can come by. We have it in different variations. You can get it in a pen, a coaster. You can just get the plank if you really want that. So it would be a really cool Christmas gift.
And I want to tell people, too, if you go check out your Facebook page to get more information about this weekend, to scroll down a little bit. We talked about it last time I was here, but this has happened since I've been here, with Mr. Teven coming aboard. Now, who is that?
He was a World War II veteran, and he was actually an original crewman for the USS Alabama. It was just amazing getting to meet him. He came from Missouri last Thursday. He had just turned 99 years old.
Amazing.
You would never know it. He was getting around here like he was in his 70s. But yeah, he served on the USS Alabama during World War II, and he just wanted to come see the new Teak deck and walk on it, and he did. He was everywhere, and just hearing him talk about his experience was awesome. And despite everything, because, you know, it was around the same time as the hurricane, so flights, there were struggles with that, but he didn't let that stop him. He got here.
Y'all go look at that post and see what an amazing thing a man who served his country back in the 1940s aboard the Mighty A and back on it at 99 years old. And more information, I guess, Facebook page or the website, best place to go?
Yes, sir. Yes. Our social media, Instagram, Facebook, and our website, and we update it all the time.
Okay.
So you're always going to know what's going on or if there's any changes to anything.
But this weekend, first time, Family Day, Living History Drill, Family Day. So y'all take advantage of that and be part of it. Thanks for having us back out.
Good. Thank you for coming.
All right. We're coming right back. More Midday Mobile right here at FM Talk 106.5 and live from the USS Alabama. We'll come back, catch some texts here and some calls, and then... Coming up at 12:35, Cameron Smith joins me. Lots coming up this hour, and then Scuttlebutt Radio Network at 1.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. Midday Mobile live aboard the USS Alabama. Glad to have you all along on this Wednesday. And time to check in with my buddy David McCrary at LCM Motor Cars and talk about that inventory. Hey, David.
Hey, bud. How you doing? We've got a good inventory, like we always talk about. We got a Jeep came in, two-door Jeep, and it's a five-speed manual transmission. So that's a hunting vehicle if anybody's looking for one. We had one the other day. We sold it. We got another one. We got a real late model Toyota Camry. Got a Cadillac DTS, which is an older one, and it's like brand stinking new. A lot of small SUVs and four-wheel drive crew cab trucks. I mean, we got it all.
Okay. Let's talk about options for financing as well. How's that looking?
Financing is really good. We've had a lot of people come in the last week or so. Down payments are a little low right now, but we're still being able to make it happen. So, you know, of course, the more down payment, the more choice you have. Just come see us. Let us see if we can help you.
All right. Do this. Tell folks how to come find you.
We're at Highway 90 and Plantation in Theodore. It's 1 mile south of I-10, exit 15A. You can give us a call at 251-375-0068 or go to the website, lcmmotorcars.com.
Thanks, David.
Have a good day.
You too. There goes David McCrary with LCM Motorcars. And I'll get to this story here, and then we'll get some texts. And texts coming in here at 343-0106. Give you, you know, the update here on the strike that started this week here. The strike started, I guess, yesterday morning with the International Longshoremen's Association striking against the USMX. And we talked about this some on yesterday's show, how this affects containerized shipping at the port. There was some disagreement yesterday whether it affected the coal facilities because people were saying that bulk and break bulk and palletized were not affected. It's just containerized. And then people were saying that coal is also affected. I'm still trying to get the word on that. So if you work there or, you know, or have some reason to know, let me know on that. But and I'll come back to the kind of the story. But WKRG, so my buddy Bill Riles had the story, I guess, in the morning newscast. And it was about, okay, well, here, let me just read this. And it's Haley Kennedy filed the story and said, shoppers were stocking. Okay, well, the headline is, the ILA strike empties grocery store shelves in Mobile. Okay, so it says, the International Longshoremen's Association union members began their strike early Tuesday morning. Residents in the port city rushed to the grocery store. They interviewed Katie Dixon, local shopper, said, when I got inside Sam's, I quickly realized that people were in panic mode. Shoppers were stocking up on paper towels, toilet paper, and bottled water, saying they were worried about the supply in the future due to the strike. Now, I just and ask this question, because I went through the grocery store, I think, yesterday. I didn't see anything. Well, I went through Dollar General. I didn't see anything wild. No, I mean, they still had salsa and sour cream and the very overpriced Tostitos scoop chips and all that I was looking for because I was getting ready for the debate last night. Are you seeing this? And when is panic buying? I mean, just when has this ever paid off? It's like people love some panic buying, and maybe it's the toilet paper thing over COVID. Maybe that's the reaction people are having. Maybe people are if you go into the store. Now, this store says at the Sam's that they were still flying off the shelves. Have y'all seen this at your local store? Did you go yesterday or today to the grocery store, and did you see runs on items? What were the runs? If you did see it, what was missing? What was, you know, what had that big, you know, the place where remember if you grew up in the 80s like I did, and the pictures of during Perestroika in Russia when the store shelves were just empty, you look down the row and there's like one can of something there. Is there anything like that out there I'm missing? Because I can't be at every store. It struck me with this store talking, this story talking about the people making the runs on grocery stores. Is it just the one store? Are people maybe getting ready for football this week? Are you seeing it? Let me know. 343-0106. All right. To the text line here, unnamed texter says, the strike is absolutely absurd. They're acting like they don't already make $39 an hour with $6 an hour to their pension and free health care. Let's see. Jason said, he said, yes, and the Vienna sausage was wiped out. Why is that the go-to? I mean, there's a lot of canned things that aren't Vienna sausages. I know it leads a lot of people upset with me. I'm just not a fan of them. The potted meats in general, we'll eat them, but not my favorite thing. Also, Jason asking, Sean, are you surprised that the stolen valor wasn't brought up by J.D.? Maybe, but they'd already gotten walls on the Tinman Square lie thing. So the only thing I'll say for the moderators, at least one moment last night, so they asked a question about the timeline when Walls said, you know, he was in Tinman Square or whatever. And they look at a newspaper article that says he wasn't. And his answer at first starts off like, well, I grew up middle class, which is like, that is the newest hardworking Americans and Alabamians. They say it so much, it's now become a cliche. And I grew up middle class is now a cliche. I'm beyond both of those things. But he said that and went on this soliloquy here. And then the next thing you know, the moderators did come back and say, and what about that thing in the timeline? And I think he said he misspoke. In other words, he lied on that. But Jeff Poore brought something up today that I listened to, and I said, you know, you're spot on, Jeff. He said, we have gotten to a point where in debates, it's about gotcha questions. And that one, the gotcha question last night, listen, there's tons of gotcha questions against J.D. Vance. That one was against Walls. Is that the purpose of a debate? And I think this is maybe more academic than the just general blood sport that we expect in these debates. But is it worth discussing that in a debate, you frame questions about policy for the country and how you would design the policy, right? Versus just being this cult of personality discussion. That's where we're stuck, right? You hardly can get into policy when it's just like, well, Trump's bad and mean and he's a racist or Kamala doesn't know how to put on her shoes or whatever it is. In the time we take to do that, which that's what we should do here in talk radio, I think in an interview from a show, those are good things, the gotchas, and they sit down. Oh, you can't get Vice President Harris on an interview, but if you could, that's where you do those things. I actually think Jeff brought up a good point. I don't know how we get around it, but too many times the moderators are trying to make themselves a star as well, right? They're trying to ask this hot take question, this gotcha question to bring, you know, bring lauding on themselves. What about in the debate format? We don't do that. And that's both ways. That's bipartisan, that you don't do it to the Democrat or don't do it to the Republican. You just ask questions about policy. And then if the two candidates want to shoot crossfire, that's fine. But get the moderators out of this habit. And they, Lord knows, is mostly is leveled at Republicans, but we saw at least once last night leveled at Democrats as well. Well, you just ask them questions about, you know, what are you going to do, if a wider regional war pops off in the Middle East? What are you going to do to bring down the cost of energy? What are you and do those things? And ask those questions, I think, are more pertinent to a debate format. Then when you go into interviews, yeah, if you want to do the gotcha question, you lied about this, you said this, that's fine. But maybe the right place for that is in an interview or on talk radio, way more than it should be part of what is supposed to be a debate for the American people to, see the policy ideas of the two sides. So, or maybe you know what we need? How about AI? Let's get AI to be a moderator now. We'll have AI moderators. Well, of course, then who builds the AI? I don't know. But if you had real AI that was neutral, the computer asks the question, and then they go forward from that. All right. Let's see. All right. Daniel says, the toilet paper and paper towels are made right here in Mobile. We're not going to run out. Yeah. Well, Daniel, remember that, though? How did, you know, during COVID when it was – it's the same thing. The toilet paper was the same thing as ammo. And I've said this before to folks. We've had the supply issues on ammo. So it's incumbent upon us when we go in and we finally find the rounds for the rifle or the shells for the shotgun that we want to shoot, that we buy what we need, maybe an extra box, just not buy all of them, because it leads to panic buying, right? Maybe that's what happened with the toilet paper. This texture says Foley Walmart was almost out of toilet paper and paper towels. Backstrap Stacker says, I wouldn't think paper products come via container ships. I wouldn't either, right? I mean, we bake paper. We got trees. So I don't think I could be corrected. I don't think we're importing a ton of paper products here. But if people believe that they're not, if this is going on at the local stores, people aren't going and thinking about things logically. They're going because they're panicked. They read something on Facebook and then they're panicked buying. This texter said, I went to Rouse's after work yesterday, and everything seemed very normal to me. There you go. But here we go. Somebody said Sam's and Daphne wiped out yesterday afternoon on toilet paper. Jeez Louise, people. Oh, but it goes on to say, I heard it could be people from Georgia to the hurricane. Coming right back, Cameron Smith joins us next on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile live from the USS Alabama here in the boardroom. Always a pleasure to come out and do the show here. That means coming up this weekend, Living History Crew Drill going on at the Alabama. Talk about that more coming up. In this segment of the show, brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. That's my man, Trey. He's been picking up y'all's junk and my junk and so many other people's junks in Mobile and Baldwin County for 16-plus years. Let him do that same thing for you. It could be, we talk about you used to have a guest room. Remember, like where guests would stay? And now it's full of stuff, boxes, stuff you don't need. Get rid of it. Could be an attic that has junk piled in it. It could be, there's these things called garages, y'all. Have you ever seen these? And you put cars in them and trucks. It's pretty cool when you get the junk out of there. Listen, whatever kind of junk you have like that, he can get even the big stuff routinely, taking down above ground pools, swing sets, storage buildings, the giant trampolines, whatever. You got junk you need gone from your home, place you're getting ready to buy, place you're getting ready to sell, wherever. You got the junk you need it gone. You need 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Making that appointment super easy. Online, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com or on the phone, the name is the number, 1-800-GOT-JUNK. And it's a good old fashioned appointment. They actually like work with you, find the day you want to do it, the time you want to do it, to set the appointment. You're there, they're there. And if you say yes, when they quote you a price, they get it done right there. So check them out online, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com, or pick up the phone. The name is the number, 1-800-GOT-JUNK. All right, get to our guest, but one quick series of texts. I just run through these. Yes, so there's so many of y'all are reacting to what we talked about a second ago with the WKRG had the news story, and then some of y'all have chimed in that you saw it as well at some stores. The run on toilet paper, the run on all these different paper products at the stores because of this strike that started yesterday with the ILA at the Port of Mobile, and then a ton of ports from Maine to Texas. But the panic on that and panic buying out there, and so many of y'all are just saying, hey, you know, this is something we make here in Alabama. Yes, I know. I don't think there's logic to the – I don't know how many Vienna sausages – are coming in through the port, but they sure as heck are making a run on those as well. I don't think logic is afoot. I think it's just panic. You have the strike. You have possible, you know, issues with importation containerized. I just don't know if Vienna sausages and paper products are the way to go. I don't know. Let's talk to a Cameron Smith with AL.com and the Triptych Foundation. As you worry about imports, being strangled by this strike, would you think toilet paper and paper towels first?
No, Sean, I'm here with 37 cans of Vienna sausage, and I just think you're missing out.
Well, so you're the reason. See, it's the first person who goes in and panic buys something. You know how you get something to sell in a grocery store? If there's very little of it left, there's like bare space on the shelves, then that human instinct, people just buy the thing because they figure somebody knows something they didn't know.
Yeah, and I got to be honest, those Gerber baby meat sticks, they're just not as good. They're just not as good.
Nasty, nasty stuff. Oh, my gosh. All right, so a lot to talk about. Last night's debate, I mentioned it before the break. Your thoughts on the debate?
Yeah, I actually thought it. I understand politicos and pundits are maybe the only people that are going to watch a vice presidential debate on a school night. But I thought a couple things that were different. They were kind to each other. They disagreed, but you know, they showed a little empathy. There were several moments where Vance said, hey, oh gosh, that's terrible. You know, I didn't know that your kid was, you know, present when there was a shooting. It was humanizing for both of them. It's clear without a shadow of a doubt that Vance is the best onstage presence in a debate of anybody this cycle. It is not
out of all four of them. Out of all four of them, I agree he's the best.
He was better at defending Trump and his actions than Trump himself. And I thought that was, it was a masterclass on how to handle a debate. He was fact-checking the moderators. He was calm. He was very clear. Waltz, by contrast, his folksy style hit me like a teenager who didn't do the assignment and gets asked questions by the teacher in class. It was not... I think he thought, well, I'll be relatable. And he was, his halting style actually reminded me more of Trump, where he would just say things and then say another thing on top of that. And it was at times difficult to follow what he was saying. And when he was asked a simple question about, hey, when were you in China in 1989? Yeah. He could have said, hey, I just misspoke on that. I was off by a couple of months. I was actually there in August and not in the spring, and stopped talking. But he massively fumbled that and then called himself a knucklehead. And all Vance had to do was sort of nod and be like, all right, you said it, not me. And I thought that it was a good debate, a substantive debate. I think Vance's candor was excellent on the abortion question when he said, people just don't trust us. I thought that was an admission that probably caused some Republican political operatives to cringe. But then he said, we need to give women a reason to trust us, that we're going to help support them, that we're going to have their back, that families have opportunity, that they'll have opportunity. So basically, they don't have to choose an abortion. And I thought that was a very sharp answer on a topic that's been a lot of trouble for Republicans since the Dobbs decision. And, you know, the only thing that was concerning to me is it became very clear that there is no conservative on the stage on the presidential level or vice presidential level. It is a 90s Democrat policy setup versus the extreme 2024. And I saw a lot of conservative commentators say, wait a minute, this is still big government. There's a lot of overreach. There's agreement between Walls and Vance on things that aren't good for conservatives, that are bad policies. And I think those were the people that were probably the most upset, was, wait a minute, where's the candidate espousing traditional conservatism? And the answer is, they're not up for election this cycle.
Okay, Cameron, you and I have talked about this many times, so we are maybe a dying breed in that, because they're, and I would argue, you know, every time we talk about it, I argue, well, there's not a market for it, right? There's certain products not available anymore because there's not a market for it. So this idea of the smaller government, and I want to get to this at a state level too, and the lighter hand from government is something that's the way of the dodo. And now it's a conservative populist message versus a liberal populist message. Both of them are going to give you things, you know, that you want. It's different for different groups, but it's still not about shrinking government or giving you just liberty.
Right. Absolutely not. And I think that's where we, you know, what I saw was, I liked the way they treated each other. I thought it was, in our political context where it's much more savage these days, they treated each other well. They had a good exchange. They were pretty calm, even where they passionately disagreed. I love the tone. The substance to me was, okay, I've got Democrat light. Democrat light doesn't work because it's never as good as the full version of Democrats at getting you stuff. That's the problem for Vance and Trump, is we'll sort of give you stuff. We won't give you as much as the Democrats will, but hey, we're still giving you goodies. And I think that is going to be an Achilles heel of, wait a minute, they will just give us more because they're telling us this is what we think. Meanwhile, Vance and Trump are saying, well, we'll still give you stuff. We'll use government to punish companies doing things we don't like, but not as much as them. And they're still trying to keep conservatives in the fold. So it's just a little bit awkward, but this is where we are. And I think most folks will address the question of which administration, the Biden-Harris administration or the Trump administration, was better for me. And I think that's how they'll vote.
Cameron, let's bring this back to a state level and something I've talked about so many times, obviously, with you as well. Y'all, I'm just going to read you a couple sentences and then let Cameron run with this. This paragraph starts off. Y'all think about this. Cameron and I did not work together on this beforehand. It says, look at the areas where government has the most control. How's that going for Alabama? Public education? Nailed it. Medicaid? Perfect. Alcoholic beverages? Controlled. Have you seen how well things are going in the state-run cannabis cartel? Well said. So two fantastic sentences there as we talk about more government control. Look at Alabama. We're this big conservative state. You just laid a quick list out of the places where the state's involved in what should be the private sector.
Well, I was talking about Senator Albritton's comments that government control was one of his guiding principles in handling gambling. And I understand you and I've talked about that the world does not really want limited government conservatism because, man, that's just not fun.
Not 51% of them don't.
But I'm going to preach until the church is empty. I mean, that's what I'm doing here because in the state of Alabama, the idea that conservatives would say, you know what, we need another bureaucracy. We need to really get control of gambling, and we're going to do that by expanding government and controlling what would otherwise be private industry. That's the truth. You can sugarcoat it. You can spin it differently. You can say, well, look at the attendant harms of gambling. Look at all this stuff. If your answer is government come in here and create a new bureaucracy to control it, you're not a conservative. You just need to come to terms with you're just a big government with a different color. And red versus blue and big government doesn't fly with me. And I think that was my main point, was there are states that auction off licenses. Pennsylvania does this for gambling operations. You can pick the number and you can do that. There are plenty of policy solutions that can give you some of the things you want. But if your goal is government control, you're just a liberal who wants different things. And I'm going to call it like it is.
But and what happens is this all gets washed into the conversation. Like if I have this on the show and I mention something like that, somebody will say, well, you're against gambling. I'm like, actually, I'm not. I'm fairly agnostic to it. I think it's a right that people should be able to vote on. At the same time, I think it has societal ills. It's like anything. It's gray. But I believe in people's liberty to do it. But like you said, why the state has to be, the state can be in control in as much as saying, here are the parameters, right? If you're going to run the casino, you got to have a bond to be able to pay off if, you know, old lucky Cameron comes in there and wins a bunch. Or you have to pay this amount for a license, right? We're going to, and you can't, you have to each year reapply for the license and it costs $2 million. I don't know what they would cost. And then your license in the state to run a casino. And then you could, get this, y'all, compete against other casinos to see which casino has the best, 80s rock cover band come in or the best all you can eat shrimp.
Yeah.
And that one wins. I mean, that's how it goes.
Well, imagine, Sean, that I said, people are shooting each other and there's harm coming from these guns. I'm going to create the Bureau of Gun Regulation and Violence Prevention in the state of Alabama. You'd laugh at me. You'd say, absolutely yeah. not. That's nuts. It's the same thing. It is the same thing to say, well, there's societal harms there. People could get hurt. You know, look, people could gamble too much and lose their house. Well, if that's your logic, well, people get hurt with guns. They could shoot someone. They could kill someone. I guess we need a big government bureaucracy. Alcohol, I've been at this for years. Well, if we don't regulate alcohol with a government agency, there'll be people drunk in the streets. They'll be falling all over the place. You just don't know what would happen. I'll tell you what would happen. If somebody's drunk in the street, they get arrested and locked up.
Yeah.
It's easy. I don't need an agency to do it. I mean, it is insane. And this reliance on government in a state like Alabama, and Alabama's not alone. There's a lot of red states that still do this garbage. That the reliance on government to solve the problems is insane. And they're just arbitrary in what areas they allow it and what they don't. None of the politicians in Alabama on the Republican side would ever dream of a Bureau of Gun Violence Prevention. They wouldn't do that. They shouldn't do it in these other contexts.
You know, it's, and even on the ABC argument, I think I was one of the people that was called out and saying that I must want people to be, this has been 10 years ago or so, when they're pushing back, people like me, and I was lumped in with a group of people, wanted people drunk in the streets and kids buying booze. I said, wait a second. My issue at that point was with the retail component. If you still want to have the excise tax, if the people of Alabama think it's a great thing to have the excise tax on the booze coming in, let them do that. Let them charge that and let them also keep, running their stings and stuff to make sure people aren't buying underage kids are buying booze. I'm for that. That doesn't then, therefore, ergo, mean you need to run retail locations that compete against private business.
Yeah, well, I mean, I go further than that to say, address the behavior that's the problem. If people are getting drunk in the streets, arrest them, put them in jail. They'll stop. if people are selling to minors, arrest them.
Arrest them.
Find them. Penalize them. Say, hey, you sold to a minor. The penalty's $50,000. Okay? Like, that will quickly draw out that behavior. Go after the bad behavior, not the industry or sector. And this is just easy. This is straightforward. And on the gambling front, what's even crazier is most people in Alabama don't care about slot machine at a gas station. They don't care about poker night with 10 guys gambling for $100 each. Like, that's not something that's going to wreck culture or society, and you don't need a bureaucracy for it. The cost of the bureaucracy in this instance will be more than the cost of the harm to the public.
Cameron, people want to read more about this. Where do they go?
AL.com/opinion. I write for Gannett as well. There are plenty of avenues, but please, folks, think about, if you say you're a conservative, make sure your politicians are held accountable.
There it is. Cameron, I appreciate it. We'll talk again next week.
Thanks, Sean.
All right, there goes Cameron Smith, and we're coming right back. More Midday Mobile live aboard the USS Alabama right here on FM Talk 106.5.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. We are live aboard the USS Alabama. Always love it out here. And even though this show will be ending in a second, my man, Tom Claxton, taking over with the Scuttlebutt Radio Network at 1. Right now, though, I want to check in with my friend Anna at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry and talk about great gift ideas. You know, Anna, I mean, there are people that actually do Christmas shopping in October. You're aware of this, right?
Yes, I am very well aware. There's people that prepare ahead of time. And I actually just got the Christmas rounds in. They're finally in the shop. They're about to go in the front case. So we've got Santa, there's Patriotic Santa, there's Santa Bars, it's Baby's First Christmas. I've already sold one of those. All kinds of designs.
These people make it hard on people like me that, you know, come mid-December when we start thinking about Christmas. But y'all got those. You also have, for any kind of different gift idea, those silver rounds to get them engraved right there at the shop.
Yes, I drew the engraving myself, and normally, you know, people put a name on there, and I can do different fonts like script or block, and you can personalize them any way you really want to. And we have jewelry as well. There's jewelry. There's, you could get proof and Menses. There's the American Silver Eagles. They're also popular. Another thing I want to mention is that you can put the silver eagles and the engravables, the rounds and the bars, you can put those as an ornament on the Christmas tree.
There you go. Make sure you have a solid branch. But, yeah, you can put them on. They look really good. Tell folks how to come down and check out those gift items and everything else going on at the store.
We're at 2204 Government Street, just a block west of Little Flower Catholic School and Church. And you can also find us on Facebook and Instagram.
Thanks, Anna.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
All right, there goes Anna at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Speaking of the font thing, we don't have time in today's show, but I was thinking about this. Random shower thoughts. What is it with gangsters, right, that decided they need the calligraphy script with any kind of tattoos? When did that happen, that calligraphy script? If you're going to be a bad A, you got calligraphy script on your tattoo. What about, like, Times New Roman, Courier? I mean, why'd they go with that font? It's just a side question. Let me read a few of these texts before we wrap up. For now, it looks like some of y'all are seeing, I did not see any shortages on the run of paper because of the strike, which really makes no sense, but some of y'all did. Foley Walmart, this was yesterday, I guess, almost out of toilet paper. Let's see, Ben says Foley Walmart again, another Foley Walmart. Foley, what's wrong with y'all? Foley Walmart, last night doing regular shopping, noticed toilet paper rack was pretty thin. Got home and found out people were panic buying. I don't think the run on Vienna sausage is panic buying. Hunting season's around the corner and people are stocking up at their camps. I just can't. I'll have to eat something else for right now. Let's see. This texture said Sam's and Daphne wiped out yesterday afternoon on toilet paper. but I heard some people saying it could be, okay, yeah, due to the hurricane. My friend Supermom, good to hear from you, said the amount of times Walls said, hey, look, or but look, was about to drive me insane. It's a petty irritation on my part, but just damn. I did hear that, too. I noticed that. Scott saying, yeah, point out the toilet paper made here in the USA. But he says, look at the toilet paper package. Says it's made in the USA, but with imported materials. Okay. So what comes in that they need to put in there? That's interesting. The texture says, Walls said, sometimes it's just the gun. What the heck is he talking about? Never heard of a gun killing anyone without a human being involved. Yeah, I heard that too. Maybe he just misspoke, you know, like the Tiananmen Square thing. Matt says, Sean, I miss the old days of straight shooter moderators like Tim Russert. The man was right down the line when he had his show, old show, and when he moderated. Yep, I got to meet him one time. That was pretty cool before his passing. All right, leaving you in the, okay, trustworthy hands, Veteran of the Year, my buddy Tom Claxton. Scuttlebutt Radio Network next, right here on FM Talk 106.5.